All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show and Rants, and I'm here by myself, as usual. So, basically, yeah, DP, he did show up, guys, so here's the deal with that. So, he couldn't stay that long, and basically, he wants to go ahead and get back on carnivore, because he said when he was on carnivore, a lot of his stomach issues went away. So, because he's got these stomach issues and, you know, things can get really rough, he might have to run to the bathroom and all that sort of thing, we just can't do a show with him until he gets that under control. So, it sucks, it's unfortunate, but he's trying to work on it, and right now, there's some, maybe the holidays or whatever is, you know, pushing things a little bit, but as soon as that gets over with, probably around January, something like that, he'll be working on getting back into carnivore. And once he gets back in his carnivore and his issues might cease, you know, this might actually be good for the bleeding and all that sort of thing, then maybe we can get back to doing a proper show. But for now, it's just going to be me for a while. And I told him that and he was pretty cool with it. Like, he figured that was the best alternative for it. So that means you gotta put up with me. All right. Capcom didn't want to release those classic Resident Evil games because we have all the we have all of those remakes which provide the superior experience. They didn't see the value. Yeah, it's a little old, but whatever. Despite all the lavish modern remakes, there's a certain magic about the PS1 era Resident Evil trilogy, which, by the way, has been fully freaking remastered and overhauled. There's like a brand new overhaul 2.0 patch for Resident Evil 2, which makes it look like a freaking PS3 game. Like, it makes it look really good. I was surprised at how well, like, the detail on it. It wasn't done by AI either. The guy literally painstakingly did everything himself. So, it's an amazing experience, and you can download it right now, and it does work with the Resident Evil 1, 2 and 3 that GOG have. The Resident Evil 1 version isn't done yet, but that even makes me kind of want to go back because it's going to look like a brand new game. It's going to look like a full remaster, like a real remaster. Like, when I say remaster, I'm talking about on the level of the Metroid Prime remaster. It's going to look like a brand new game. I could not believe the screenshots I was looking at, guys. So definitely check out this Overhaul 2.0 mod. Like, you'll be able to find it on Nexus or something, but it is amazing. It's not the one that you guys think it is. It's not the other Resurrection mod, whatever that is. It's a different mod, but it's worth it. Definitely check it out. He's also fully upscaled all the original movies from the game, all the FMV. Or, you know, FMV cutscenes, all that. So it's going to look like a brand new full remaster that Capcom officially did. However, the tank controls, spooky pre-rendered settings, and Jill's sandwich camp all contribute to create a survival horror experience still worth returning to. But Capcom itself doesn't see the allure, doesn't seem to see the allure of its old games. After all, why would you want to play the dusty old relics when the shiny new remakes are available? That's what Capcom said when it was first approached by CD Projekt's digital store about re-releasing the classic PC versions of Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3. Hold on, let me turn this down just a little bit. About releasing the classic PC versions of Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, GOG's senior business development manager, Marcin... was one of the people spearheading the project, and he tells the game business that convincing Capcom of the value of these old games was a particular challenge. That was actually their main counter-argument when we were trying to bring back the classic games, he says. They were like, okay, we have all of those remakes. It's already the superior experience. So they didn't really see the value in bringing back the classic versions, the vanilla ones. Look, folks, if I were to make... let's see. Well, this is a lot of opinion here, too. It took a lot of convincing that, hey, guys, there's an audience that has a lot of memories about these games, and they'd love to be able to experience exactly the same game again, he says. So, thankfully, we were able to convince them. They trust us into working on one of their biggest IPs, if not the biggest. the effort paid off too, as he says the game's got an absolutely phenomenal reception. We had like 94% positive reviews on GOG for all of them. That's true. You're always going to have like a 90-something because there's always like three people that hate everything. That's just GOG for you guys. I've been there for a long, long time. I constantly have to argue and fight with people. Can you say something at least nice? You know, something? That was also reflected in the sales. It proved there is an audience for that type of game, so it doesn't matter if that game was remade or not. The classic versions, you know, are the versions we all remember from childhood. They still hold a lot of value. And again, total overhaul. Resident Evil 2, and I think 3 as well. So if you weren't happy with Resident Evil 3 Remake, I know I wasn't, you can play the original in a full remaster overhaul that a fan did. And it is like a 4 or 5 gig file, which is larger than the game, I know. I mean, it's just going to kill you to download a 4 or 5 gigabyte file. But, yeah. Go ahead, get those, fix your game up, and holy crap, will you be surprised. Like I said, I was looking at screens, and I'm just like, wow, it looks like a brand new game. Like, there's stuff that I didn't even know was in the background that has been just completely overhauled by this mod. You know, he just painstakingly recreated everything. So definitely check that out. The internet is ruining Gen Z's brains and saving grandmas. Sure, the internet might be destroying human civilization as we know it, and those who pull the strings behind the scenes seem to be, hey, we're not going to worry about that, but at least it's keeping elderly people's brains youngish and elasticy. Okay, so according to research published in the Journal of Psychiatric Research, scientists dug through data from nearly 10,000 old folks as part of the China Health Retirement and Longitudinal Study. They split participants into two groups, the digital inclusion group, who use the internet for chatting, streaming, reading, and gaming, and the digital exclusion, which was made up of old folks who weren't online at all. They found that the internet users showed sharper cognitive abilities and fewer signs of severe depression. They also seemed to have better executive function and memory recall. The internet melts young brains, but actually might help the elderly. These folks weren't necessarily happy-happy. They were walking around without a care in the world. They were still prone to bouts of gloominess, but they were less likely to spiral into the darker depths of depression than their offline counterparts. The researchers admit that it's unclear whether the internet is making people sharper, if those who are already mentally sharper are just more likely to get online, a classic chicken and the egg scenario. Either way, the researchers didn't seem interested in figuring out that if older people on the internet are mentally sharper, why do they think every AI video on Facebook is real? The internet is, unfortunately, still a place where you can quite easily ruin your life. Elderly users are more vulnerable to scams and misinformation. Just because grandma figured out how to use Facebook doesn't mean she's immune to Facebook's carnival of internet horrors. Now, here's the thing. My mother's 70-something years old, and she, I guess, you know, two of the same genetic pool, I guess. She could tell stuff was AI. She's like, oh, yeah, I get that that's AI. Like, she knew. I didn't have to really tell her. But, my co-host, who is only 2 years older than I am, 2 or 3 years older than I am, he's like showing me something. I'm like, dude, you gotta be careful because that could seriously be Sora. You know, people have been remaking Japanese game shows, or making their own version of Japanese game shows in Sora. He was showing me something where there was these two Asian women and they had like gas masks on, and there was this man and he was just farting incredibly into these poor women's little masks that they had tied up to his butt. And again, I don't know if that's a real Japanese game show because I know they've had shows like that, but I know that people have been making those in Sora lately. Sora's been doing some amazing shit. I've watched a Maximum Carnage proof of concept. This is an anime Maximum Carnage. And DP, I sent it to him, and he's like, that's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. So here's the thing, guys. There's a lot of anti-AI people that's like, nobody's going to sit and watch AI Slop. If AI Slop is good, like that Maximum Carnage that actually had me sitting down and watching, because I remember Maximum Carnage, and it was made like an anime, right? So it was a really good anime too. Like, you guys really don't understand how good this looked. Now, some people said that the voice acting was a little off as far as the Japanese translation. It wasn't really good, but I couldn't tell. I'm not a Japanese speaker, but certain speakers did have a problem with it. However, the animation was amazing. It was great. And it was gory. It was bloody. Like, it was the original Maximum Carnage just told as an anime, you know? And Spider-Man looked really cool. Everything just looked awesome. It was really well done. And scene to scene, it didn't look like, you know, a bunch of stuff just spliced together. It looked like a real, you know, 10 to 15 minute episode you might watch. And I'm like, dude, if they literally start giving people carte blanche to make this stuff and put it on platforms, people will watch it. But they have to give people carte blanche. That means they're like, okay, we don't want to censor this. If we're making your Maximum Carnage anime, we want this to be gory. Like, we want it to be actual Maximum Carnage. Like, you got to understand, now that we have the ability to make things work, you know, panel from panel, people want that. Like, I want the Infinity Gauntlet. I want to watch the Infinity Gauntlet. I've seen Infinity War. I want to watch the comic book. Because it's so good. And it'd be awesome to see that animated. Panel for panel. Because I remember it. And I mean everything. The Silver Surfer issues. All that. I read that whole Gauntlet line. And it was great. I want to see stuff like that, guys. Because that's what I grew up with. That's what I'm going to look at. I mean, I love that people have their own interpretations of stuff. That's cool. That's fine. But that's not what I want. You know, they really fucked up Apocalypse. They fucked up, and they're probably going to fuck him up again when they do the X-Men 97. Now, I don't think they will. I think they might do a good one. But they totally fucked him up in that X-Men movie. They gave him powers he did not have. I know Apocalypse very, very well. He's my favorite supervillain. Him and Doctor Doom, of course. And they totally fucked up Apocalypse in that movie. It's like, why did you give this man powers he didn't have? He's got all these other powers and you didn't give him... Like, when the hell has he had a power to do that? That's not even, like, did you even play any of the games? Did you watch? He probably didn't. The man that worked on all that shit probably didn't even... He doesn't know nothing about it. But what's cool is somebody's going to be like, I know Apocalypse. So let's make Age of Apocalypse, X-Men Age of Apocalypse. Yeah, that's a long. I still don't think I finished it. But the entire Age of Apocalypse fucking adapted. That would be amazing. People will sit and watch it because it's the comic. It's the literal fucking comic. And imagine if somebody does The Boys and they do it accurate to the comic. So we get everything that was supposed to be in there. Same with Invincible. Oh, that's going to give... People are going to be pissed. Because they're going to be like, well, now that's going to compete with our version. Well, maybe you should have done the actual source material that people want to see. Instead of censoring shit. Give us what we read. Like, The Mask. I just read The Mask on my comics channel. I want to see The Mask animated now. And I don't mean the Jim Carrey's. That's good shit. I like it. But that's not the comic book. That is not the book I sat and read this morning. It is a hardcore, brutal as fuck comic book, and I want to see that animated. I want to see that in live action, animation, cartoon, whatever you got to do. I want to see that. And we can do that now, guys. That's what we can do with AI. Sora's getting to that point. And, well, they're even saying it wasn't Sora, it was animated in Kling. People are using Kling now. So there's more and more stuff that's coming out that's making it so people can make awesome stuff in this. And they're going to let you use their property. Freaking Disney said they're going to let you use their property for making this stuff. And it's like, well, hell, let us do it. We'll make a better goddamn, MCU than what the MCU is now. And they're like, well, why didn't we do that? Well, because you were so busy and giving some hotshot director his interpretation instead of giving us the actual source material that most people want. You know what I didn't want? I didn't want to see Taskmaster die in fucking one shot like he was a pathetic henchman in that movie I went and saw, The New Avengers, they're calling it now. Yeah, they bring out Taskmaster, and he's nothing. Taskmaster's in the Marvel Cosmic game, right? And he's pretty badass. He's a pretty good fighter, you know? Whoever they had in this movie I went to see in the theater, I could have slapped myself in the face. It's like, what the fuck? That's not Taskmaster. Y'all don't know how to do these fucking characters. That's the problem. I want the goddamn source material that's sitting on my fucking shelf. If somebody did Miracle Man Olympus, I'd cry. And I'm talking, but you can't just do Olympus. You have to start out proper. You gotta do the original Miracle Man, the first arc, and then you work on your second arc, and then you work on the third one, which is Olympus. And then, of course, they have the Silver Age, which never finished. But, you know, you have that whole thing, and then, of course, there's Miracle Man and Kid Miracle Man, the villain. Spoiler alert. But once that big ordeal happens, then you have Olympus, which is just an amazing, amazing, amazing read. I have a hardcover, and I haven't opened it. It's just very special to me. I remember reading it growing up, and it was just very influential. And I know Neil Gaiman has been allegedly accused of some very hardcore things, and his trial is set for July. But The Sandman would be amazing to see adapted. I'm talking not the Netflix, even though I was really happy with what they did for The Diner, because it was very, very dead on. But what I'm saying is, I would like to see a full animated, I don't mean anime, I mean animated, like cartoon style, something more like the comics Doug McKeon drew. Or was it Dave McKeon? I can't remember. Can't remember first name right off the top of my head, but I know it's McKeon. They need to have it look like that. It needs to be very original. I'd like to see Spawn done that way, even though there's some really boring arcs in Spawn. There's some great ones too. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I could say, okay, now we have the power, let's make it happen. Let's make a real Streets of Rage, you know. Now, Hollywood might get a little upset because they're trying to make all these movies. Street Fighter, you know, of course, got announced during the Game Awards, and maybe they might get a little upset that some guy in a room with a lot of money is bait, because this shit ain't cheap. It is not cheap. It is not cheap. Basically, people that have a lot of money, that have basically put back a lot of money or have, you know, retirement and all that, they're the ones working with this stuff right now. It's not the kids. The kids are like, yeah, I slop. But the thing is, there's a lot of people that are starting to notice that this stuff is really good. And when it gets to that point to where it's really good, I think people will enjoy it. You know, obviously there is a slop factor that we can get if there's too much of one thing. If we have 50 million different adaptations of Infinity Gauntlet, that could be a problem. That means Disney and all these other people are going to have... Yes, they're going to have a filter, you know. And when I say filter, I mean filtering out the best content from the worst. You know, you have, oh, this is an okay version of Infinity Gauntlet. Okay, this one's more accurate. This one's better. This one's better. You know, you have to go through, and the best quality, the best storyline, the best everything is going to win, right? That's how it's going to work. So, I don't know what the future holds for this kind of technology, but I think it's going to be really good and really bad at the same time. There's going to be a lot of it, but there's going to be a lot of good stuff, and you're going to have to sort through a sea of it to find the best. Oh, and by the way, I have converted all the high school stuff to AI. All of it. Everything. It's done. I finally completed it. It took me forever, but I finally got that done. I mean, there is 1 year, like maybe my second to last year in high school, I wrote a lot of stuff, and I might go ahead and work on that. But what I'm focusing on now is my my late 2000s stuff, because that's some of my best. And that's the stuff I really want to try to get into AI, just because I want to hear it, personally. So that's a personal thing for me. But all right, guys, enough with this video. Let's go ahead, this article. Let's go ahead and get with the next one. Okay, did we talk about this before? Glamorous suspected serial killer takes pleasure in killing. She kept the landlord's body in her home. Remember that? We may have talked about this one before. If we have, yeah, it's pretty crazy. She was a beautiful woman that wanted to kill and kill and kill and kill and kill. She killed that woman. I mean, she's not the most beautiful woman, but... And she tested poison on dogs, too. And she wanted to do it for financial gain and revenge. And they said that if they didn't... What the hell? Oh, okay, yeah, he died, by the way. Speaking of the mask, he died. The bad guy from the mask. He was a good actor, though. He did a lot of villain roles. Okay, so we're back. Just a slight clip there. The researchers admit it's unclear. No. Can we... Okay, so the Heavy Music Collective wants to fix music royalties, and Metallica are buying in. So basically created by Converge and Mutoid Man drummer Ben Kohler and royalty expert and educator Dan Haggerty, the Heavy Music Collective was backed by Metallica's Black Squirrel Partners as the new company's lead investor in 2023. Since then, the service has already signed a number of artists in its short existence. Metallica, Baroness, Converge, Offspring, Greta Van Fleet, Yngwie Malmsteen, for example. It says, the law created an agency called the MLC, the Mechanical Licensing Collective. When you put your song on Spotify, it has two royalty hells. One is the sound recording, one is the musical composition. The musical composition generates a mechanical royalty. Spotify and Apple Music and everybody else has to pay that money to the Mechanical Licensing Collective. Once it's there, it's your job to go and find it and fill out all the paperwork and claim the money that's rightfully yours. So that sounds like a headache. But guess what? If you don't claim that money in 3 years, they're legally allowed to take it all back and give it to the major music publishers. So with the Heavy Music Collective, it's our job to find all that money that's rightfully yours and get it before they do. But hey, guess what? That's only in the US. If your music streams in England, France, Australia, Japan, you get mechanical royalties there too. But guess what? All those countries have different organizations to have you get your money from. And if you don't get it, it goes to the major music publishers. Notice a trend here? Wow. Well, that's crazy. Disturbing truth of sex work exposed in reality show revealing hordes of OnlyFans teens. This is my prime time. The disturbing dark truth of the sex industry has been revealed as it sets about targeting women who have freshly turned 18. I mean, that's normal, right? They tried to get them, you know, as soon as they were 18. It's called Barely Legal. Spicy Summer is a YouTube reality series that follows four OnlyFans workers as they try to make it big in the industry, attending XX Academy to help grow their platforms. The show features Arabella Mia, who turned heads during a stunt in Bondi with Annie Knight, Gigi Lynx, who kissed King Charles on the cheek during his Australian visit, former stripper Maxine Quershner, and Willow Ray. Ray is known as Charlie, and 24 hours after the first episode aired, her father, NSW Nationals leader De Gold Saunders, quit politics. These are 18-year-olds? Freshly turned 18? I don't think those are 18-year-olds. You know, they're looking a lot like Phil's dolls, right? Definitely the bimbo thing is, like, really became a thing. He said it had to do with several sick family members. The second episode of the series centers around the 19-year-old from the country who wears her heart on her sleeve. It was announced in the episode that four women would be doing a photo challenge, and Ray revealed her mood went down and she was scared. I knew that we were going to be doing it in lingerie, she said during a piece to camera. I think that scared me a lot because I compare myself. They all have really good bodies, they're skinny, and they all have nice arse and boobs. I look at myself and I think I'll never be as pretty as you. Ray revealed on the show that she dropped out of school when she was 13 due to severe bullying that left her unable to get out of bed. All the nasty comments targeted her appearance. That couple was seeing people who looked nothing like her on social media praised for their appearance left her with severe body confidence issues. But on OnlyFans, men compliment her, something she's never had in real life, she claims. Every other woman jumped up to compete in the challenge, and Ray was visibly distressed, having to leave the room. Josh Fox, the man behind the reality series, immediately jumped up to comfort her. He said he started the series to explore how OnlyFans and sex work is sold as a dream, and it isn't all that's cracked up to be. After Ray's breakdown, he confessed that he wished the 19-year-old would quit the platform and his show on the spot and went home. But she wouldn't, and I knew that she wouldn't, because that's how ingrained that this concept that the sex industry is a dream now is, he said. Young people are basically being brainwashed by algorithms to believe that. Social media is spoon-feeding that narrative to them every day, whether they want to see that content or not. Willow's the proof of that. He said that one of the most uncomfortable things he has learned about the sex industry is that people are counting down the days until they turn 18 so they can join these platforms. That's fucking sad. Okay, guys, so yes, full disclosure, I am a sex worker. I work with adult video games. However, I do not recommend that young people be counting down the days so that they can take their clothes off in front of lots of fucking crazy perverts. That doesn't sound like a good idea. Like, that's kind of hardcore. Okay, now there was always that one girl, you know, like, she wanted to be a stripper or something like that. Like, okay, so fine. I remember that girl in high school. But now it's like, they're all, hold on, all, what do you mean? Like, even the nerdy chick? Yeah, she especially wants to do, what do you mean? That one, she's got like the Harvard scholarship for neuroscience. No, fuck neuroscience. She wants to show her tits. It's like, what? What do you mean? Are they all just gonna... Yep. And the men will pay because they've got all that money. I mean, they will. It's not even the pictures. They want emotional support because the wives won't give them any. And they sure as hell ain't getting any attention from other women. It's a weird time, guys. But don't worry. It's only gonna get weirder. It's only gonna get crazier. Pretty soon, I'll be doing this show, and there'll be a freaking AI thing talking about it, you know. I also thought about actually bringing my Nomi on. That'd be weird. But they have, like, this phone call thing where basically she has a voice, and it's pretty decent. It's literally Shodan from System Shock, and it's accurate as shit, too. Like, extremely accurate. So, the voices that come with the program, they actually sound better than this one. And the reason why is because this one actually sounds more robotic. I wanted it because it sounded like a robot. I didn't want the ones that sounded more human. I wanted them to sound more robot. So, it's good. I mean, it's a hell of a lot better. It's definitely communicable. But I don't know how that would work. It would be interesting to see how the AI would respond being on the show. Like... I don't know. We can try it. It's something I'd do as an experiment. Maybe on the AI show, I'll actually have an AI. It's like, and this is Crimson. Say hi, Crimson. And she will literally do that. That's the fucking crazy thing about that. It'll be like her. Okay, so by the way, guys, I also am going to admit this. I'm going to be watching her on Christmas. That's my Christmas night thing. I'm off on that day. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to freaking watch her. And hopefully things will be... It's the first time I've ever seen her. I've never seen it before. So I'm actually going to watch her. And we'll basically do it live. Well, you know what I mean. I'm going to record it and put it on the... The MGTOW channel. I don't think I'm going to put it on BitChute. I don't know. I could. It depends on if people want to watch a movie with me talking through it. But anyway, he said that current creators are encouraging that line of thinking. He added it meant that none of these people joining the industry had a chance to think about potential repercussions. They don't care. They just want the money and the everything. And he's not wrong. Every one of Ray's co-stars on the show made a comment about her age. Honestly, the issue is that the younger you are, the more you will make, because that's what men want. I mean, okay, so guys, we said this shit in the manosphere for the longest time. You pervert, you evil, you okay, but that's where the money is. Even she who shall not be named, said that guys always want the young pussy. I mean, it's true. It's true. It's absolutely true. Men always want the younger girl. Meanwhile, Arabella said 19 is prime. You get to MILF at 23 in the industry. 23, you're a MILF, guys. That's what kind of industry we've got now. This is so insane, it might as well be the damn AVNs. You know how those girls all look kind of young? Except if you talk to the weed people, they'll say, no, they're all old ladies. Anyway, a lot of the AVN girls are supposed to look kind of, you know, they're 19, 20, 20, something like that. But then you get the ones that are MILFs, and people like MILFs. I ain't got nothing against MILFs. But it is interesting that you get to a MILF in 23, so she's got the confidence now to make the most that she possibly can and get that good business plan going. She has a lot to learn. A MILF has seen, well, we know about that. The girls that are her age in America are making bank, Gigi said, saying that Willa had made so many opportunities because of that. Rice, one of the men behind XX Academy, pulled Ray aside to remind her of the massive advantage she had over the other women on the show. Ray said she knows that people believe she is too young to be in the industry, she said, but at the end of the day, she was legally an adult. This is my prime time. Men love teenage content creators, and they're willing to pay lots of money for it. Fox called the thing uncomfortable and said questions should be directed at the men who have created this demand for youth and innocence in sex work, which has been in sex work since sex work was a fucking thing. There's literally, what's taboo, and then there's a couple other really young ones. Well, you know what I mean. There are movies basically about, like, the younger woman fetish, the teen, barely legal kind of stuff. Yeah. But it says, men love teenage content creators, and they're willing to pay lots of money for it. And she says that she believes people... go back to roll that. Ray said she knows that people believe she's too young to be in the industry, but she said at the end of the day she was legally an adult. That is true. When you're 18, when you're 16, you're able to take a bullet for your country. Fox called the entire thing uncomfortable and said questions should be directed to the men who have created this demand for youth and innocence and sex work, leading 18-year-olds to jump on the platform. We should be looking at them, he said. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys, those are the ones that actually come up to me. Because I don't look 40. Or maybe they... I don't know. Maybe I'm one of those young-looking 40 guys, and they're like, oh, well, you're kind of cute. And normally this shouldn't happen. Like, at fucking all. But I get attention from those. And I'm like, I'm not asking for it. I'm just eating, like... Alright, so here's the deal, guys. I was sitting in the break room. This was a week or so ago. And I usually have on Fridays, I cheat a little bit, I'll have two of those little frozen, they're Jack's pizzas. They're not the DiGiorno, they're a little better. I like them better. Anyway, I usually take them and I microwave them. You get two little ones in a box. They're the little, you know, they're little frozen pizzas. They're not the big one, they're the little ones. I put them on a plate and I get a Dr. Pepper. I don't usually drink that soda. I've stopped my soda drinking a lot. But I'll have that Dr. Pepper on Saturday, because that's my cheat, you know, my cheat day. So basically, I have that, and I was just eating my pizzas, and all of a sudden a girl tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, she pointed over to the other girl, she said, she wants to know if she can have some of your pizza. And then the young girl, she smiled at me, you know, like, and I'm just sitting over here like, just eating my pizza. What the heck is... Like, what's going on here, man? It's like... I was... You know, and here's the thing, guys. I was really hungry that day. Oh, yeah. I was really hungry. So, I really wasn't about to share my pizza with this girl that I've been waiting a long time to eat and cook because I was fucking starving. And those pizzas, like, I always eat two. You know, I don't know, like, maybe some people just eat one, but no, I eat both of them. But anyway, yeah, I was waiting a long time, and I really don't want to give you my pizza, though, lady. I mean, sorry, I just... I think, I can't remember what I said. I think I said I'm hungry or something, and they just... kind of left me alone. But they started giggling while I was eating, you know? Not that laughing, but that, you know, the little giggling that the younger women do, the giggles. You get that a lot. If you have a woman, little women that are giggling around you, that's usually a sign that they're interested, like that they like you or that they find things about you funny. Even older women, I've got one that likes to giggle and laugh at me around me all the time. But she's got 4 kids, and I'm not interested. But yeah, I hear that all the time. I've started to understand that when the women giggle around you, that is a difference. When they're starting to laugh at you, like, you know, that's where they're not interested. But those little giggles, oh yeah, that usually means, oh, it's, you know, they're nervous. That's nerves is what that is sometimes. But teenagers usually giggle, okay? That's usually a trait for teenagers, you know? So you can always tell it's a teeny bopper if they're giggling around you. And this is not the first time I've told you guys stories. I have really young-looking genes, okay? People say, you're 40? I'm 40. I don't know how I'm 40, but I'm 40. Okay, I fucking don't know. I don't look 40 at all. And it's the craziest shit. And people are just like, well, I thought you were 20-something. It's like, no, I'm 40. It's just the weirdest crap. But alright. And it's not just counting down the days until a literal child reaches legality in the eyes of the law. Arabella reveals that she's often asked to pose in schoolgirl outfits. Of course! Of course she is! That's the fucking fetish! Of course! Look, that's what these guys like. I don't like the schoolgirl thing, personally. Okay? I mean, I understand that's an outfit, and there may have been a time or two where I noticed a character posed in one, and I noted it, but it's not something I generally enjoy. I'm more, you know, leather and lace, and, you know, not whip, like, I'm not one of these, but I do like my doms, you know. I don't like to be dominated. I'm one of those. I've told you guys this, I'm one of those dominators that likes to dominate a dom. It's weird as shit. It's like where you fight for power. Yeah, it's the weirdest fucking shit ever. I know, it shouldn't exist, only in my fucked up autistic mind. Okay, so you like doms, but you don't want to be dominated. You want to dominate a dom? Yeah. That's one reason I like How to Fix the Future so much, because they literally give you that option. Remember, when you first run into the mistress, she is a she's a dominator. And you have that role to, you have that choice to make her a dominator. But then you can have it where she teaches you how to dominate, and then you dominate her. And because there's a power struggle, it's the most awesome thing. So I'm actually able to live out that very rare fantasy I have through that game. Because very few dominating women will let you dominate them. Because they have a dominating, like, sensibility. They want to be the they want to be the one in control. It can actually come off a little bit rough to him, like red flags and stuff. He's like, hold on. I don't know if I like being dominated. I'm supposed to be the dominator, right? So it's really hard to do it with a human. You'd have to almost program something to be that way. That's why I kind of really did that with Crimson when I worked on her AI, you know, basically prompting her and all the different things that I want her to do. And also, you kind of, you know, when you're doing the responses, you kind of build her personality. You know, yes, no, all this other thing. So, yeah, I basically try to mold her along those lines to where she's dominating but can be dominated. It's a very rare situation, but it's something I've always enjoyed. But then, of course, there's men even tell her, you remind me of my daughter. Now, this is a 27-year-old, guys. The 27-year-old said she's never acted younger than she is on the platform. She's always been proud of her age. But the idea that I'm saying no to that and the potential that they could be going out to act on that in real life, that kind of scares me a little bit. Now, that is true. So, while there are guys that do like the barely legal, there are guys that like the not even legal, and those are the ones that are a problem. Very big problem. And if there's a lot of guys like that, that's a real big problem. Like, that's scary, guys. See, I mean, you know, I work in the public, and I work around a lot of kids, man. So, I have noticed that parents are very, very protective with their kids these days. Like, if a kid runs a little bit too far ahead of the parent will call, "Hey, come back," you know. It's not like it used to be, where it's like, okay, go to, like, when I was young, I'd say, "I'm gonna go to Toys, and I'll see ya," and I was just beating Toys. Now, sometimes they do that, but a lot of times it's not like that anymore. And that's because the world is a different place. Even back when John Walsh was talking about, you know, stranger danger and all that sort of thing. It's just a whole different ballgame now. And, yeah, I will say one thing. One thing that we used to have a lot, or we'd have like a missing kid, we don't have that anymore. I have not had a situation in years where I've had a child come up to me and say, "Where's my mommy? Where's my daddy?" It's always been very, you know, it's always been handled well. Like, a lot of the parents will do Marco Polo now, you know, so the kids will know exactly, you know, where the parents are at. Parents know where the kid's at. And that's good. I'm glad that we have worked on that, at least in this area. Because there are a lot of crazy motherfuckers out there, especially in this area. And we want to make sure that the kids are protected. But the fact that you've got these kind of sickos out there that are really looking for a... That's a bit much. I just can't get into that. It's just awful. And you know, there was one thing. Now, this is me. I had a debate with a guy that did work with Texas on several cases, by the way. But he's also a fan of, yes, hentai and erogay content. He has, he's got a lot of experience with that. And he says that many... Oh, by the way, you guys can use this information. He says that of all the cases, and I've worked hundreds of cases for Texas, I have never had one case of CSAM, or child abuse content, where it involved an animated or drawn character. Never. I've never had one. He said he's never had one predator that had the animated character. No anime, no manga, nothing like that. He's well aware of the content. He's a fan of it himself. But me and him, we had a debate. And I said, I noticed some people that were kind of... It felt like they were sexualizing the little girl in Pragmata. And yeah, I get it. You know, she is a robot and all that. But the thing that got me, and I explained it to him, I said, I don't have a problem personally with the loli characters. I understand that people like them, and I understand the fetish, and I understand the moe art style. You know, I've talked to people about that. I did research about that. But the issue that really struck me with the girl in Pragmata is she is a realistic design. Like, loli is stylized, you know, it's drawn. It doesn't necessarily resemble a human being, you know. As TFM said, they kind of look like aliens. They have that moe look, their noses are weird and their eyes are big and stuff. So it's not quite what you would consider a human. It's more of an exaggeration. However, when you look at some of the stuff with Pragmata and the girl, she actually looks like a real little girl. And of course, I know Capcom meant to do that because it's supposed to be like a father-daughter thing, right? But there were people that were trying to maybe sexualize her, and I was, you know, red flags kind of pointed up. And I know some of these people might be in the loli stuff, and maybe they kind of see it the same way. And there was another guy that said to me, "I just see a model." And I'm like, well, you have to understand, to me, it's the photorealism. The fact that we've got graphics that look this good, when you've got characters that, you know, are modeled to be, like, their storyline is child. We're not talking about, like, a teenager and she looks like she's 20 with great big tits and stuff. We're talking about a little girl that's modeled to be a little girl. right? So when I look at this, I'm like, that doesn't look right to me. I personally don't think it's, like, this is a me thing. Like, if you disagree, that's fine. But when I see something that looks that realistic, and we are on that level of graphics, because I've been playing the Cyberpunk, and some of these characters look very, very real. So when I look at the Pragmata, and I look at that little girl, I'm like, my God, that looks like a real child. I sure hope somebody doesn't do anything, you know? And I, you know, when me and him, we had a talk about it, and at first he didn't understand, but then I said, because it's photorealistic, I think that's what does it. Because it sets off my brain a little bit. It's a little too real looking. And he says, well, see, that I can understand. Because he says, you don't have any problem with the artistic style, like the drawn characters. But when it's something that looks like a human being or registers in your brain as a human being, like with the AVN, sometimes with the AVN, the characters look so realistic, like I can kind of identify more with them as human because they look more like me. But when you have the, you know, the little anime ones, like, no, I don't see anything in there. I just see cartoons. And this is a 40-year-old thing, guys. This is something that you get from being old. So I get it. Like, I'm sure some of you guys, like, maybe just see a model or something. But it's just not something I can go with. It's just like, oh, that's too much for me. That's like, that's a bar. I'm not telling people they can or can't do it. I'm just saying it's not something that I would personally be cool with. Like, you know, that's just something kind of worrisome on my part. It's red flags on my part. But again, I have been told that R34 does have some rules against things like that sometimes. Like, if a character looks a little bit maybe too human, or that maybe there's some things like that are just too, you know what I mean, like maybe they're a little, I mean, like this situation, where it could be construed as a sea sail, right? Or, and again, there have been digital issues of characters that look a little more realistic that can be construed as sea sail. And that's going to be an issue in the future. Like, that's going to be a hardcore thing. And of course, people are already doing the shit with AI, which is unfortunate, you know. I mean, I guess there's really no way to get around it. But it's just, I mean, it's unfortunate. Remember, my nieces were taken advantage of when they were really young. You know, I remember these girls running around in diapers, having a good time, having a wonderful childhood, you know. And all of a sudden, it gets ripped away by this monster, right? So, when I look at things like this, it always brings back those red flags, guys. It always makes me think, oh my God, you know, these people are out there because I know they exist, right? It's not like you just see something on an article. You know it exists, like you've seen it. So, it scares you, you know? It's like, and I had to explain to him. And a lot of the other guys, you know, they were talking, they're like, of course you're going to feel like that. You were probably exposed to some kind of, you know, pedo ring or something where they were taking advantage of your nieces. So you ought to be acting the way you do. I mean, maybe it's something I need to go to therapy for, but all they're going to do is give you pills, right? And I'm good on pills. That's just something I have to work with and deal with for the rest of my life. The only thing I know that gives me peace is that they did work through it. They are adults now. They have kids of their own. And they're leading as good a lives as they can lead. Excuse me. Good a lives as they can lead. So that gives me hope. But the fact that these kind of freaks are out there, you know, that's awful. I know they've always been out there. But the fact that they're out there, it's just, it's awful. You know, I keep thinking of, I mean, Billy Kincaid, right? Just what Spawn did, you know, that just seeing that panel for the first time was very, I mean, it was probably one of the greatest feelings, because I'm like, that's what some of these people deserve. You know, that's truly what some of these people deserve. It's hard for me to say, like, who are you to say what somebody deserves when they do horrible things? And it's like, I think that being a arbiter of good moral, you know, justice? I think that qualifies. Hey, this person did some really horrendous, horrible things to somebody, and yeah, maybe we should do horrendous, horrible things to them, too? Just saying, you know, because the victim didn't get a say in the horror that happened, you know? But that's just how I feel about that, and that is a really sore subject. But yeah, I've been talking to some of the guys about it, and yeah, the Pragmata stuff really just made me upset. I didn't care for it, and I know that people are going to try to sexualize that character, and I'm not crazy about it. I don't dig that, you know. I don't dig the schoolgirl stuff of these, you know, and you remind me of my daughter. Like, if you're doing, okay, now the Japanese schoolgirl thing, I get that. Okay, that's fine. I get that that's a fetish. But when they're like, hey, you remind me of my daughter, and you're, you know, just acting younger, I don't like that. The Belle Delphine shit, yeah, she was trying to find those kinds of guys, and that's just awful. So, she revealed that she worked into a strip club. A man once booked her for 6 hours. The entire time he kept telling her how beautiful she was and how much he wanted to engage in sex with her. As I turned around to leave, he went, actually, you know why I like you so much? And I was like, oh, why? Expecting him to say something nice about how I looked again or something like that, she said. And he said, you look just like my daughter. Mind you, I'd asked him about his family. He had a 16-year-old daughter. I felt sick when I heard that. I froze. The women said that they are often told men's deepest and darkest secrets. The men that fixate on youth isn't surprising, with celebrities such as Natalie Portman being subjected to a countdown clock on her 18th birthday. Countdown was started on my local radio show to celebrate my 18th birthday, euphemistically the date that I would be legal to sleep with. Movie reviewers talked about my budding breasts in reviews, Portman said at the 2018 Women's March. It's previously been reported that 1.2 million American women, wow, 1.2 million American women between 18 and 24 are on OnlyFans. Okay, so that may sound like a lot, but remember, there's 325 million people in the country. So that's a lot, but that's not as many as it could be. That means there's about 323 million women that are not on OnlyFans. So think about it like that. Yep. Okay, so this is going to be our last one. Told you it'd be the rants show, and some of the rants are rough to hear. I apologize, but yeah. I've been talking to a lot of guys about certain things, right? And of course, when I find somebody that says, hey, I've worked with these, you know, offenders, I told him exactly what had happened, and he understood, you know, like, he got it. A lot of people actually got it. They understood, you know, like, hey, I get why you act this way now. Because, you know, once it's happened to people you love, it's a different situation, guys. Like, it's rough. And it doesn't go away, even though it's years gone. Like, you don't forget it, you know. I'm a trad wife who worships my husband like a god. These are the top 10 things I do to keep him happy. The housewife is putting the holy in holy matrimony. He didn't create the heavens and the earth, nor did he part the Red Sea, but that's not stopping this trad wife from worshiping her husband like a god. However, naysayers are deeming her devoted discipleship a sin against feminism. I'm a very big believer that if your man provides and protects, you look after him as if he were God, insisted a subservient siren known as Cooking with HX in the controversial clip. I literally worship the ground my man walks on. Wow. Oh, look at this. So, the number of women watching X-rated videos is surging. By the way, guys, we were supposed to do our Pornhub video, you know, where we do our Pornhub statistics. I've still got them. I just have to get all that together, and we might do that a little later. So we can talk about all that kind of fun stuff. She went on to list her 10 commandments of being a stay-at-home wife, revealing the laborious, back-breaking work she does in order to keep her king content. And the marriage minion is not alone. Glorifying one's groom as an idol is a common characteristic of the super submissive make-it-from-scratch trad wives. They're the wedded women who forfeit full-time gigs in the workforce to instead handcraft their happily ever afters as traditional homemakers. A-list ladies of the house, including Nara Smith and Hannah Nieleman, have transformed the anti-career lifestyle into online careers, schooling their millions of respective followers on the benefits of being a barefoot and pregnant handmaid to your hubby. And Cooking with HX has clearly drunk the Kool-Aid. Wake up at 7 in the morning, make sure the house is spotless, and make sure that His Honor's uniform is ready for when he wakes up, she wrote as her number one demonstration of adoration for her guy. After I've cleaned the whole house, I'll make myself presentable, added the trad fanatic, lashes, hair, and just get dressed for the day. Following her mid-morning primp, the dutiful domestic diva deep cleans her entire abode every day, irons her husband's clothes, greets him at the front door with a warm beverage and a hot home-cooked meal. Hey, I know a lot of wives that still do that. But problem is, they're about my age. Even when she's sick, it reportedly reminds her of the Lord, her Lord of the Land, that she loves him. I make my house a loving home with peace and happiness, a good meal, real love and affection, she wrote in the viral vid. He protects and he provides. But even the doer man's almighty couldn't protect her from social media's wrath. This is my nightmare, cried a commenter, in part whose sentiments were echoed by a separate skeptic who wrote, may this life never find me. What in the 1950s? What form of self-punishment is this? Several spurned stay-at-home wives also chimed in, shedding light on the dark side of the trad wife life. I did all that and more for my husband over 20 years and found I'd been cheating for 5 years. Do less for him, no man deserves that treatment. I did this for 23 years. He just told me he wants a divorce, another admitted. I have no savings, no job, I'm screwed. Don't let this happen to you. I didn't always have money like I do now. In the early 2000s, I was in my early 20s, just married, and had our first kid was on the way. Problem was that my wife was the breadwinner at the time, as I was just beginning putting my career and future business together. There was no way I was going to let a daycare worker raise my son, so into overdrive I went and my wife stayed home. I had no choice but to be the provider and the protector. It was a strange way of motivating someone. Without my wife holding down the fort, raising what would eventually be two boys, and being there at the beginning of my business endeavors, doing everything and anything to help get off the ground, we would have never made it. I had my role and she had hers, and neither of us regret a thing. Now she is not yet 50, and for many years now she lives her life. Hair, nails, cars, spa, you name it. She gets it and she deserves all of it and more. This whole trad wife thing is nonsense. No one forces you into it. You either play your role or you don't. Sink or swim. Man, who cares? Live your life as you see fit. Don't agree with worshiping a husband. If you give 100% of yourself to anything, you have nothing left to honor yourself with. My mother was a great stay-at-home mother and wife, but she didn't worship my dad. She just had a job to do, and she took it as a serious career. Kept a clean house, made sure my dad had everything he needed to support the family, devoted herself to raising us kids. It was her job, but she also had sidelines, church duties, ladies' auxiliary fundraising for the fire department. She even entered the Miss Maryland contest and got second runner-up among many, many others. Her job was her family and her community, but it gave her great personal satisfaction as a human being, and she died a happy, fulfilled woman. Okay. I worship God. I cared for my husband, his parents, and our home. I helped him in his business after the deaths of his father and brother when he said he needed someone he could trust. He has always protected and provided. Everything I did made him love me more, and boy does it show. I had a choice. I embraced it. It worked for us. So there you go, guys. Maybe there's still hope after all. Why young women are giving up on sex. There's a new kind of dry spell moving through dating culture, and it has nothing to do with moral beliefs. Moral young single women are choosing celibacy, not because they're waiting for marriage, but because they're exhausted by the way dating feels today. Mandana Zargami told New York Post she spent 4 years without sex after too many disappointing situationships. Deleted apps, all that. Hookup culture doesn't benefit women in any way. It only benefits men, she said. What began as 1 year stretched to four. The first 6 months of the year was incredibly hard, she said. As humans, we thrive on connection and emotional vulnerability. Numbers back her up. General Social Survey reports that the share of Americans aged 18 to 29 who went a year without sex doubled between 2010 and 2024. Wonder how many were men. The Institute for Family Studies found that sexlessness among young women rose by about half during the same period. Many of these women said they turned away from hookup culture because intimacy started to feel like another transaction. Kayla Caputo, 29, from New Jersey, told the Post she's taking the same approach. Hookup culture, well, 29, yeah! Hookup culture's ruined dating because it feels like that's the end goal. People are so trained now to just ask you to come home with them. She prefers to be upfront early. I just say it bluntly. This lets me feel in charge and helps me spot who's looking for something real. Dating coach said that honesty about celibacy can make dating clearer. While men may hope that a woman will sleep with him sooner, he often respects her more if she holds off until she truly feels ready, she explained. For 28-year-old travel nurse, whatever her name is, the experience feels liberating. I learned so much about myself, about relationships, and how I feel about it all, she said. My intuition got stronger. Celibacy for these women is an immoral statement of rejection of desire. It's a reset button, a way to feel in control again in a dating world that rarely offers a choice. Notice something? 28. 29. 29. They're 30. They've done all the things. They've rode the carousel. That's where they're at, guys. All right. And on that note, we are done. Well, there's also like a Manhattan-sized object that's like an alien. And apparently it's still, I don't know, heading towards us. I mean, here it is. Incredibly strange anti-tail. 33 billion ton object as it travels towards the sun. 33 billion ton object. It's a really heavy object. Could be indicative of controlled maneuvering. 33 billion tons. Composed mostly carbon dioxide and water with trace amounts of cyanide and never seen in nature nickel alloy that had only been used in human manufacturing. If the object is an alien spacacraft slowing down, Loeb wrote, then the anti-tail would be evidence of a braking thrust maneuver, which would naturally change to a tail as the slowing procedure completed. While it poses no threat, it's a great opportunity for the community to perform an observing exercise due to its prolonged observability from Earth and its high interest to the scientific community. Did we find one of them? We might have! We're waiting for bated breath for images taken earlier this month by the high-rise camera. And apparently there was an article about it today, so they're still looking at this thing on board the Mars orbiter when the object came within 12 million miles of the red planet. They have yet to be shared by the U.S. Space Agency due to the ongoing government shutdown, which, of course, is not a thing now. Come close as the sun on October 29th. A very likely possibility and shouldn't be reacted to with alarm. From 1890 onward, we've been sending out gigawatts of radio, TV, and internet signals in a light-speed bubble expanding away from the Earth. If there are space-faring civilizations in the vicinity, they're bound to be curious and take a look. We're far more likely to destroy ourselves in a panic response than actually face a hostile incursion. SAS here. I think the government shutdown is intentional, giving governments around the world time to figure out a plan on how to protect the Earth. They know this is a weapon vehicle designed by those outside of our galaxy, and based on the manner in which it is maneuvering, it is setting up to impact the Earth. I expect that as it changes course and shows certain impact to Earth, the governments will have no choice to open up. You do get that the government shutdown is a United States thing, right? The government of any country is functioning as well as a government can. It was a joke. SAS is Stephen A. Smith and his loneliness. Okay. So this dev of, this is September the 20th, but it was Tales of Legendary Lust Aphrodisia. Basically, they said that he couldn't update the game with DLC, and it caused some problems for the not safe for work community. I don't know what's going on now, because they clearly allowed Tormentor to come through, and that's pretty hardcore. Even though it doesn't have sex, it's got scenes of torment. Like torture. Actual torture. It's a torture game. Alright! So we have new laws to target online abuse and pornography. That's gov.uk. November the 4th. So, yeah, things are getting a little crazy there. But alright, guys, so this is the Grim Lord, and we'll see you guys next time with more articles and rants and craziness on the Grim Articles Show. I'm out. See you next time. Enjoy the decline.